My name's Lola, I'm an addict.
Hey, Lola.
I don't know, tell me if I'm not loud enough, I don't really want to. Okay. Thank you, Ali, for asking me to do the chair, and thank you, Ray, for what you shared. I really related to a lot of what you were speaking about, you know. And, you know, it is scary sitting with a microphone in front of you, and, you know, because I sort of feel sort of very disconnected as well. You know, I of course I'm nervous. And somebody asked me outside, you know, have you done sort of, a few chairs in your head already, you know, and, because I hear sort of people doing that, you know, I've got the opposite problem, you know, which is I just sort of slide off. And, and on the way here, you know, I'm sort of, well, what is an addict? You know, who am I? You know, sort of trying to get in touch with some of that, you know. And, what is my story? As well, you know, because I think it's, over time, I think my story can kind of morph a bit with the addict's story, you know, the story of addiction, or, sort of getting to, you know, I did such a good job of getting out of it that in recovery I'm finding sort of getting back into my body, into my experience, back into my feelings and myself, you know, is difficult. You know, really, really, it's been really, really hard. You know, I mean, I'm certainly not there yet. And, a lot of the time I can still feel, you know, like I'm sort of still landing, really. And, when I first sort of got to meetings, it was, I had a lot to kind of get off my chest, you know, and I think I was sort of quite, sort of a little bit confrontational, do you know what I mean? I kind of came in with all that sort of street nonsense, you know what I mean? It was sort of about being bad and sort of quite wide, and I think I had this sort of limp that sort of, my leg was fine. I remember kind of coming to and sort of realising, you know, sort of clocking to myself and, you know, sort of this process sort of putting down that, you know, those sort of masks and those fronts. You know, I hear people, you know, sort of say, you know, like, when I got here, I was sort of loved and embraced and until I could love myself. And, you know, now I see that, you know, I can see that did happen with me, but I didn't sort of have the touchy-feely experience of that at all. You know, I think I was very sort of, I'd sort of push people away. And, any sort of self-esteem I had was sort of in the negative. You know, it was about how bad I was, I mean, how shit I was, you know, how much I'd sort of, how destructive I'd been, what a good job I'd done of sort of smashing myself up, really. And, sort of almost quite proud of that, really. And, so I had a lot to get off my chest in the beginning. And, speaking, you know, of course, you know, self-obsession, but worry about things like, do you know what I mean? Have I remembered step two correctly enough to share on it? Or, do you know what I mean? Or am I going to sound okay? Is this right? Is that right? You know, and sort of all those concerns. And now it's just, I don't know, I just sort of feel more vulnerable. You know, I'm stronger than I've ever been. I'm more me than I've ever been. You know, it's a sort of strange paradox. But I haven't got the, you know, that sort of, I haven't got so many masks today, you know, it is kind of just me, you know, and I can kind of feel very raw some days, and, so this feels a sort of a very raw experience, and I'm trying to share a bit from the heart, I guess, you know, and, not trying to be as, you know, sort of, very difficult, and, anyway, see how it goes. I was thinking about this today. You know, I used for, I think about 12 years, and in those 12 years, you know, I was absolutely in the grip of obsession and compulsion. I picked up young, sort of about 13 and a half, and. I had no other life that ran alongside that. You know, it was very much, it was about drugs, it was about using, drinking, and, and I don't know why I picked up, really. I think it's because it's funny, you know, my you know, like what you were sharing, Ray, you know, I mean, I come from a very dysfunctional family. You know, my family was a dangerous place to grow up. You know, it was really, it was all women and, you know, very tall women. And sort of like, you know, I don't know, a couple of hundred years ago, you know, we all would have sort of been burnt, you know, at stakes. sort of a coven of sort of very tall, bleach blonde women. I've always had this short complex. You know, I'm about 5'7", but, you know, so on average, I'm not short, you know, but when my grandmother died, she was sort of taller than me. It was, you know, I don't know why. So I've sort of been, you know, kind of stunted growth and, you know, I mean, it's sort of... you know, and the sort of, the, you know, there'd be the odd boyfriend, the odd, you know, sort of fleeting husband, you know, and they'd sort of, they'd be in the kitchen, you know, sort of just sort of standing there. And so sort of very, very kind of strong women, you know, so obviously, you know, there was a lot of shaming went on. You know, tricking, and it was, you know, sort of mental illness, addiction, and, you know, my mother in particular, you know, she was very, you know, I can see now, you know, she was very unwell. You know, she was in active addiction for the first sort of 10 years of my life, and, you know, but there was something else as well, you know, and sometimes I feel... Do I feel bad? I don't know. I'm sensitive towards, you know, the mothers that I know are in this fellowship, you know, and it's, you know, and I'm really, you know, and I'm in awe of the mothers actually that are in this. I mean, I'm not a mother, and you know, but really, you know, it's really, really nice to see, and you know, because I've tried to give recovery to my mother. And, you know, and there was something else kind of going on with her, you know, and it sort of, initially I sort of pushed that under the umbrella of addiction or trying to understand it in the context of addiction, you know, but there was something something else as well. And unfortunately today I don't have anything to do with her, and that's very sad, you know. In fact, there's only really a cousin that I kind of, I talk to and who I sort of see, but I have to sort of keep away. And... you know, because it was sort of a, you know, so it's this dark streak running through my family. And as I say, so I sort of grew up around addiction, around homelessness, you know, violence, and, you know, sort of, and all of that, you know, the sort of, you know, drug smuggling, prison, guns, you know, all of this, you know, I kind of got a, I've got a memory of, you know, when I was very young, sort of laying in the garden, practicing being dead. You know, this was what I was, this was sort of my plan, you know, a very young girl. And, you know, and I think it sort of, you know, that sort of, that environment sort of left me kind of in a state of shock, really. And anyway, but I, you know, I wasn't interested in any of that. You know, I didn't see any of that as kind of sort of rock and roll. And then, you know, I was really, you know, I was quite rebellious against that. You know, I used to hide my mother's drugs. You know, I used to, you know, Christmas had come round and I'd insist on sort of Christmassy music as we woke up and, you know, really trying to sort of peddle something normal and, you know, took myself off to Sunday school and, you know, sort of reading on the, you know, sitting on the front doorstep reading the Bible, you know, and all of this sort of thing and, you know, I'm really kind of anti-drugs, really, anti all of that and... you know, the older kids sort of smoking at school. You know, I remember, you know, I used to sort of spy them behind the book, you know, behind the bike sheds. You know, and I found it all really disturbing. I was very disturbed by it all. And you know, and I don't really know what kind of happened. I remember being a young child up the garden, I was up the woods, and I was sort of digging around for bottles. You'd find these sort of bottles buried in the earth, and you know, so I was, in some ways I was sort of very young. And, you know, and I was sort of digging for these bottles and I'd get them and I'd clean them and I'd collect them. And you know, and I remember this sort of, you know, and this voice kind of came into me, heroin. And, you know, and I was really taken aback by it, you know, this sort of strong voice. And, you know, and I can remember being kind of a bit freaked out and saying to myself, you know, this is a young girl, I must never do it. There's something about that. I know I have to stay away from that. And, you know, I don't know what... sort of any of that's about, you know. But it was, you know, one day it started with cigarettes. You know, I used to go to the up to the corner shop with a note from my mother, can I have, 10 fags given to my daughter, and I'd sort of come back down. And, so I used to kind of go and get my mum's fags. And one day I sort of wrote my own note and just went and kind of got 10 B&H. I sort of hear about kind of peer pressure or kind of fitting in. You know, there was none of that. I mean, it was sort of this sort of strange, almost sort of schizoid sort of child, you know. And started smoking. And it was sort of very strange. It kind of started with that, really. And then, puff. Drinking and, gravitating towards people, that kind of looked dangerous, looked bad, looked exciting. And, at one point, I was sort of like 15-year-old, I was 15 years old and, my mates were sort of 45, 47. And, I sort of grew up in this town, had some ley lines through it, attracted some... I don't know. It's a bit chicken or egg, that one. I don't know. It's this sort of dark kind of undercurrent. And, sort of found acid. And, I didn't know I was escaping any feelings or anything like that. I think, in some ways it kind of, it made me feel... I got to feel something, and and I think it kind of gave me power. I hated myself. By the time I was about 10 or 11, I knew I was a hideous freak of nature. I knew I was the ugliest thing you'd ever kind of seen. Do you know what I mean? And I'm really just wrong to the core. Everything about me, and now I understand or know depression is. I know that I had that, because I remember the feeling, and feeling sort of so kind of powerless, and school was horrible, and nobody explained to me why I was there. I just thought it was sort of another bunch of people and, absolutely no concept. I'm sort of here, because you learn, because then what happens is you get a job and it kind of goes like this. I had a sort of fantasy, I want to be a newsreader. I sort of had that. I don't know, I think maybe that was sort of the only thing, that looked really kind of grown up and sensible. And, but no idea how that, you'd sort of get there or... if anybody had sort of intervened, at any point, I definitely would have been sort of slapped with a behavioural order, I didn't understand school, didn't know how to learn, didn't know how to engage, and, I was sort of in the, I'd be in the lower classes, answering questions in my head, didn't know you put your hand up, and sort of told people, and then sort of slipped behind and, a very kind of a screwed up kid, I was the stinky kid, and, getting to sort of assembly on a Monday morning with Friday all over my jumper. And, and it sort of, there was one other boy, Ian Hedges, and, and him and I, used to play out the front, Saturday in our school uniform, and it was sort of me and Ian Hedges, really. And it was, so just sort of full of shame and always sort of person sort of go too far, I sort of remember that as well, it's sort of, yes, let's set the bike sheds on fire, so we'd all kind of get all the dry leaves and everybody would be sort of helping and, right, we need a lighter and get the lighter and then I've got the lighter and I'm lighting the leaves and everyone's gone, And, sort of kind of that kid all the time, let's piss in the library books, go and get the library books and sort of take them to the toilets, sort of rip a few pages out, sort of piss all over it, and I'm the only one who's actually done it, And so I wasn't really doing myself any favours, but I just You know, so sort of, you know, I was weird, I was smelly, I was, you know, nobody really kind of fight me, I think, because I was sort of a bit strange. You know, I remember, you know, there was a girl came to fight me, and she had sort of like half the school behind her, and, you know, she was sort of the school bully, and, you know, she sort of threw this punch, and I sort of caught her arm or something, and it was sort of this sort of strange sort of moment where I was sort of kind of holding her wrist or her fist and just looking at her. Like, what are you doing? You know. And sort of put her arm back down by her side, you know. And, you know, she just quietly turned around and they all sort of filed off. You know. Sort of, these weird sort of moments, do you know what I mean? And, yeah. And anyway, so, you know, I'm sitting in school, I've got, you know, Friday over jump from Monday, and it's just, you know, I mean, I hate myself, I'm hideous, and, you know, everything's, you know, I mean, sort of, you know, everyone, you know, I don't trust anybody, you know, people let you down, and, you know, I don't know what it's all about, and, yes, I find substances, and, you know, this is fantastic, you know, this is really... which is amazing, you know. I mean, acid, you know, the world turns into a colouring book and speed and stuff, and, you know, and it's, you know, and I was in control, you know, I was in control of my feelings, and, you know, and I felt really good, you know, none of that stuff mattered anymore, you know, you didn't matter anymore, and, you know, I could design how I felt, you know, up, down, sideways, you know, sort of hear colours and do this and do that. And, you know, and I sort of, you know, I, and, 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 see, I was like that. I was like, you know, it was so boring. You know? And, you know, I just, you know, I couldn't believe that everyone wasn't sort of really excited, it's, you know, first thing in the morning. And, you know, and I kind of, and I felt good, you know, I felt, you know, and I felt powerful, you know, sod this world, you know, I created my own world, you know, and I think I really did at that point, you know, kind of disconnect into my own internal world, you know, I'm God of my world. And, you know, I didn't have to learn that I was an addict by the time I got here. You know, I kind of knew that. You know, it was an idea I tossed about in the school toilets, you know, because it was, I couldn't kind of understand why, you know, people, you know, save that for Friday or let's do heart, you know, and I sort of I didn't kind of get it. And, you know, looking back, you know, I can see nobody actually said it was a competition, you know. But it was sort of, you know, kind of eat microdots like it was, do you know what I mean? Like 8 microdots and sort of, but, you know, and this sort of mad psychological kind of warfare on myself, you know, so to completely knock myself out, do you know what I mean? If it didn't, you know, go completely sideways and then try and be normal, you know. I don't know what that was sort of, what that was about. But anyway, so I'm God of my world, you know, and you don't matter anymore. And, you know, I'm in control, I'm all-powerful, and, you know, I found something I'm brilliant at, and, you know, and I didn't really kind of look back. And, you know, I hit consequences running, you know, there was no sort of, there was no sort of glamorous bits, you know, sort of chipping away at the sort of the, you know, the kind of the lines, you know what I mean? It was, you know, I knew how to beg. You know, my mother had sent me around with a hat, you know, at a wedding when I was sort of, you know, I was a young girl. And, you know, I knew sort of all of that. You know, I knew how to kind of beg stuff and, you know, I wasn't a stranger to sort of, yeah, that kind of dysfunction and everything that sort of goes with it. And, you know, I, you know, so I left home, came to London. I trained as a barber. And, you know, that was sort of quite good. And then, so by the time actually I'd got to London, you know, the town I grew up in, that kind of ended horribly, you know, I'd sort of, you know, I was doing needles and, you know, and I'd sort of, you know, I was doing a bit of smack and you know, and I sort of, you know, my moment of glory was sort of getting beaten up on New Year's Eve by sort of an entire pub. I think I was sort of about 16, you know, for being a dirty junkie. And, you know, and it was, you know, by the time I got to 19, you know, looking back, you know, I'd sort of had a breakdown. And, you know, and I came to London and discovered sort of the party scene, you know, so it was sort of all a bit kind of upside down, you know, coke and ease and all of that, and trained as a barber, and, you know, did that for a few years, you know, but sort of, you could kind of do it off your head, you know, coke was sort of felt like this sort of functioning kind of drug, you know, and, you know, worked up Berwick Street Market, you know, could sort of pop out, you know, somebody on the fruit and veg sold coke, and you know, and it was all, so, you know, work to do coke and do coke to work, you know, and sort of, you know, and I was on that for sort of a few years, and, you know, and then the, you know, the heroin sort of crept back in, and then the crack, you know, and so the last few years of my using, I was, you know, I was a street user, I was a rough sleeper, and you know, I was, I'd cut ties with anything kind of normal, you know. When I was getting the bus here today, and you know, I was standing at the bus stop, and I see three using addicts kind of walk past, you know, sort of on the sides of their feet, and you know, and they were sort of, you know, they were kind of bitching about something, having, you know, and as they kind of went past, and you know, something to do with what they were doing, and I looked at them, and you know, and I kind of watched them a bit, and because I'm sort of, you know, fascinated, and you know, and of course, you know, I mean, this, the obsession and compulsion to use, been lifted. You know, I'll be 9 years clean, all going well next month, thank you. And, you know, and I haven't been hit by the obsession or the compulsion to use, you know, in that coming on 9 years. And, you know, so I don't want to use when I see those three guys walk past. You know, I don't, you know, but they do have something which is attractive, and it's that complete and utter focus. You know, there's one thing to do and one thing only. And, you know, the world has become very, very small. It's just about the kind of going and getting. And, you know, and that's how my using ended up. And, you know, it was absolutely, you know, I abandoned myself to that, you know, to using in that way. You know, I mean, venue of choice was sort of public toilet. You know, I liked the cubicles either side. You know, I felt it kind of did something. The bars, you know, and it's, you know, and I know that's where I go back to. You know, that is my venue of choice. You know, I'm sorry to say, it's, you know, I don't have fantasies about sort of something at the, you know, in a beautiful club, or, you know, I don't. You know, that is sort of my MO. You know, and you know, and I'm a hole digger. Don't know why. Came out like that. It was, you know, I sort of dig around, you know, take the grout out of, you know, between bricks, and that's my thing, you know. And, just you know, sort of, I mean, there's some people at the window, and my thing, sort of, you know, get into the underlay of the, you know, I don't know what I think is there, but it's a necessary procedure. And anyway, so yeah, this kind of focus, you know, they had this focus, and, you know, and I remember that, and, you know, and I abandoned myself to that, and it was, you know, but obviously, you know, the arse fell out of it, you know, I'm here today, you know, I went back to those consequences, you know, time and again, and, you know, I've been to treatment centres, I've been to, you know, rehab centres, and, you know, and they kind of sowed a seed. And, you know, I remember, you know, being in one therapeutic treatment centre and sort of writing recovery is futile on my T-shirt. And, you know, I don't know what the sort of, what was about, and then kind of disappearing off and going, you know, I just, you know, I was a mental health team, actually, said me that. I was living in a hay barn, and I'd been deported from Holland. I was very proud of that. And I, you know, and I was just sort of drinking special brew, Valium. And living in a hay barn, I'd sort of built this kind of house of hay, and thought I was doing really well. You know, I was with the crack. And, it was somebody had sort of a concerned phone call in, and they came and got me. You know, and I sort of reluctantly went off to this treatment centre, but kind of ran away as soon as I can. Good. And anyway, but yeah, you know, so I mean, my last day of using, nothing special. You know, I thought I was. You know, I was trying to get the last bit of heroin out of a cotton, you know, but it's actually the filth off of my thumb. And, you know, I, And, you know, and I was sort of wearing a, you know, I'd stolen a suitcase or something, so I was sort of wearing a sari out of that. And I was outside Holborn tube station with my trainers under my arm because, you know, I've sort of got trench foot. And you know, there was a guy outside Holborn station and I'd see him around and he did this thing where he'd have a hit and writhe about on the pavement. And he was sort of there begging, and I was sort of standing outside Holborn Station, and he told me to piss off, you know, because I was bringing it on top. That was his spot. And I couldn't believe this guy, you know, that sort of literally used to sort of writhe about in the state on the, you know, I was spoiling business for him. And I just got on and I sort of got on the tube and, you know, as I hear many people do you know what I mean? They kind of go, you know, many people I've heard they do this, you know, kind of go back and present yourself at the family home, you know. And I sort of went in and I sat down and my mum, you know, she put bandages on my feet, you know, and to this day it's the only kind of moment really we've ever had, you know, and I've hung a lot on that actually in recovery. And it was weird, and I can't really describe what kind of happened. You know, I've had emotional rock bottoms, physical rock bottoms, you know, mental rock bottoms, and, you know, I don't know if this is a spiritual rock bottom, I'm sure it was, but I had this very strange sensation of crack cocaine giving me up, actually. And I don't, you know, it was very, very strange. I stood outside the Holborn station, you know, this had just sort of happened, and it was just like, you know, it was almost if crack cocaine could speak, it said, actually, do you know what? You're shit, F off. Do you know what I mean? Because I couldn't go and get, you know, go into a shop out. You know, I could maybe sort of, you know, if I was quick enough, could treat Pret a Manger like a quick buffet, you know. But the game was over. The game was over, really. And I don't know. And I think it's, you know, and I didn't want to die. You know, and that gave my life a bit of value. And anyway, so went into treatment because, you know, I needed the roof over my head and all of those things, 12-step treatment, and didn't understand any of it and just did it. And kind of hit recovery with that, you know, the same as sort of using, really. Do you know what I mean? Haven't got a minute to live. And it stood me in good stead, you know, sort of doing service everywhere And I would recommend that to anyone, you know, just really, really get kind of stuck in, you know, really get stuck in. You know, I mean, I was psychotic, you know, first part of treatment, I thought I was in with half the cast of EastEnders. I don't know why that was, or Janine. Yeah, Janine. One of the counsellors was Janine, you know, sort of... But obviously, sort of semi-aware that this probably isn't actually happening, and just keep it quiet, you know. So this sort of process of just sort of coming into land. You know, I feel very, very lucky that I've tried. You know, I've tried using every which way. You know, I cannot make it work, and so that from that all-powerful feeling, you know, of becoming, you know, utterly, utterly powerless, you know. And so very simply meaning, you know, no longer having any power in my life at all, you know. And something with its hand shoved up my arse, sort of talking for me, you know, moving me and this sensation, you know, my body, this inconvenience that I'm sort of having to drag around. Just bit by bit, you know. I remember being in this panic, saying, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. You know, I've always been able to make something up, do you know what I mean? Come up with something, plan B, C, D, E, F, G. And I think I've surrendered, but I don't know what to do next. And I remember sort of saying, you know, I don't know what to do. You know, and he said to me, you know, fantastic. You know, that's surrender. You know, now listen to something else. You know, try something else. And, you know, for the first time in my life, really, my ears became open to another way of doing something. You know, and I was sort of, I was desperate enough, I guess, and just tried this other way. You know, this program, and bit by bit, day by day, it's come true. You know, the obsession to use lifted, and I still kind of can't quite believe it. You know, I don't know how I got here, and you know, I think a mainstay of my recovery is that open honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. You know, I look for the truth, my truth. You know, I used to think it was something kind of fixed. You find it like a stick in the ground. You know, and I realise that it's in a constant state of flux. Really, what's true today isn't, you know, might be might not be tomorrow, and just trying to find my truth. You know, that's one. Thank you. That's one of these three defences I've got. You know, these empowering things. You know, and doesn't matter where the truth lands me. You know, I could be sitting in a cell. You know, but if I'm being honest with myself, you know, I'm holding the winning card. And the moment I'm dishonest, you know, I let go of my own hand. And then quite frankly, I'm sort of anybody's anything. You know. And, open-mindedness, you know, just trying this. You know, I didn't know what, you know, step four was. I didn't know what a step nine was. You know, I had certain ideas. I didn't know what they were going to bring. And just trying it out, doing stuff I don't understand. And that kind of leap of faith, you know, and just and the willingness. You know, the willingness to show up and do this stuff, you know. And it has given me it's given me an amazing life so far. I left school without any qualifications. So I started with an evening class. You know, this is what other people did. I did it, and I left evening class, turned into another course, into a degree, and. And I left that with first class honours. I thought I was a bit stupid. I thought I made up for it in other ways, you know. And but I'm not. And, so I've done that. You know, I've got a home, made a home. And, I've got dreams about what I want to do. And I realised today that's what kind of keeps me, you know, this is the curse and the gift of recovery, you know, is... have to keep moving forward, keep facing up to the next thing, keep challenging the next thing. You know, I mean, I came in, here, I couldn't have a relationship, utterly unemployable. You know, I mean, I had to get assessed for independent living, you know, all of these kind of things, you know, all these things I can't do. And, and just sort of challenging each of those. The moment I've got awareness, I've then got a responsibility to kind of see that through. You know, I cannot tread water. You know, all of us in recovery, our trajectory paths are fantastic, you know, because keep showing up, got to keep showing up. And, and I say it's the curse, you know, because it's sort of, I'm exhausted by my potential. Truly exhausted by my own potential. And we've all got so much potential, you know, we really do. And, all of that stuff, money, employment, it's all kind of soon come, you know. I mean, it really, it all kind of happens. You know, we've got secret knowledge, actually, which is if you lose everything, the world doesn't end, you know. And I think a lot of people actually believe it does. You know, and there's a great lyric in a song that said, I jumped into the abyss and found it only came up to my knees. and that's kind of my experience, do you know what I mean? The world keeps turning and it's still here, you know. And, so I'm giving it a good shot. And I think it's, dreams really. Got to be connected with a dream. And, I'm not scared of the consequences of using. I'm pretty scared of square one. Don't want to do square one in here again. if I'm lucky, mm-hmm. if I go back out there, you know, because, you know, I've relapsed a lot and, you know, and unfortunately, you know, I sort of, you know, I'm knocking on the door, you know, can I come back in, please? You know, I don't, you know, I'm somebody, I'm about life. You know, my spirit wants to live. You know, I wonder what would that be like to keep going and going to death? You know, but the problem with me is actually I'm about life. You know, I've got a life force in me. I've had to admit this. I'm about life. I don't want to die. That's why I'm sitting here. You know, therefore I want to live. I don't want the insanity of shall I, shan't I, shall I, shan't I. And, you know, so I'm a life person and it's for me it's about living and and kind of doing life and everything that sort of throws. And, yeah, you know, I love love being in recovery. And, you know, it's awesome. And, you know, I'm really, I'm very chuffed that, thank you, you know, for letting me share. And I'll leave it there. Thank you very much.